Big stories, big guests, the big picture. Afternoons with Rob Breckenridge. Weekdays 12:30 to 3, 770 CHQR.
So yesterday we had a conversation about the ticket scalping laws and where Ontario had really gone off the rails in trying to regulate not just these bots, but putting a price cap on ticket resales, which was just nonsensical. So to his credit, the new Premier of Ontario, Doug Ford, had said, you know what, we're going to put that on hold. We're going to give it some more study. Maybe this wasn't well thought out. And they're doing the same thing around e-cigarettes and legislation around vaping. Increasingly in Canada, we're seeing governments bring in legislation that I think misses the mark. E-cigarettes, vaping, it's not the same as cigarettes. And legislation shouldn't treat it as though it is. In fact, for a lot of people who smoke, this could be a way of getting them off of that habit. So if we look at vaping as a harm reduction approach, then our regulations around vaping should be a lot different than regulations around smoking. But like I say, unfortunately, the trend across the country has been, let's treat it all the same. That was the case in Ontario. And so once again, credit where credit is due, the new Premier of Ontario has come in and said, you know what, we're going to put these regulations on hold and we need to take another look at this. Joining us to talk about where there's some potential here for some more sensible regulations. Very pleased to welcome the program, David Clement, North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer Choice Center. David, thank you for joining us here.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Give us a bit of an overview then of why the original laws in Ontario around vaping were so problematic from your perspective.
Yeah, so the original laws that were passed, in a nutshell, basically treated vaping like smoking traditional cigarettes. So that included banning vaping from all enclosed spaces, common areas in buildings, all workplaces, patios, significantly limiting where they could be sold. And so the big problem there, which you alluded to in your first remarks, is that there's no justification for treating vaping like smoking. And in fact, most public health officials like the UK College of Physicians or the American Cancer Society actually state that we should go the other way and we should encourage smokers to try and get away from smoking, obviously because it's dangerous and terrible for you, but make that switch to vaping for the purposes, obviously, of public health. And what was worrisome about the legislation as it was written under Kathleen Wynne was that it was going to make it harder for people to access these products and actually make that switch.
Now, I get that there is a challenge here because, I mean, if people don't smoke or vape, you know, we would probably prefer that they not take up either habit.
Sure.
And obviously for kids, for minors, same thing. We don't want them mm-hmm. using other products. So is there a way that we can find that balance in understanding the potential benefit of harm reduction for smokers while still trying to keep it away from minors, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. And what's important here is that the law in terms of age of purchase hasn't changed at all. So it's still age prohibited. Mm-hmm. You can't be a minor and go in and purchase these products. So that's already taken care of in terms of point of sale. But the problem is that a lot of these legislators in terms of they want to protect children from these products, totally understandable, totally legitimate. But what they do in the process, and this is what the old regulations would have done, is they lump adult consumers into that conversation as well. And this just so happens to be a product where we really don't want to lump adult consumers into the same category as minors because we want adult smokers to make the shift to live healthier lives, to have access to products that ultimately could end up saving their life because they're no longer smoking traditional cigarettes. They're no longer at risk for many of the terrible diseases associated with traditional smoking.
The question then with vaping, part of it comes down to where is it okay for people to vape? Because mm-hmm. this is where they've been lumped in with cigarettes, and obviously combustible cigarettes produce smoke. That's yep. not the same as vaping. So should we have a different approach? I mean, does it make sense that maybe in some public areas vaping is okay where smoking cigarettes isn't?
Yeah, I think so. What we've found in terms of some of our research is there's a lot of misconceptions about vaping. often because people can smell it. People use different flavors, whatever they prefer, and they smell it, and therefore they assume that it's like secondhand smoke in terms of its presence. So there's a couple big differences. One, the vapor is only airborne for about 30 seconds as opposed to upwards of 15 minutes for actual smoke. And two, the content of the, of, if you want to call it secondhand vape, is actually relatively benign. So there's no secondhand vape exposure risk. There's no, not in the same way that secondhand smoke can actually cause serious problems for people who aren't smokers. It's not the same for vaping. And so our suggestion is we shouldn't treat the two as the same. We should have a consumer-friendly approach to vaping, a model that encourages people to make this switch and doesn't make it as difficult for them to do that. And so, I mean, if you look at something like private businesses, I'm of the opinion that private businesses should be able to determine whether their employees are allowed to vape in the office or not, or whether they're allowed to vape on a, let's say, a bar patio or not. Mm-hmm. I think those are things that need to be decided by workplaces, because those people are otherwise taking smoke breaks or having to walk down the street to have a cigarette. And so it's just an easier way for people to make this transition from a very dangerous product to a significantly less risky product.
Now, we don't know what new rules the new Ontario government might roll out, but there's reason mm-hmm. to be encouraged here. They talk about working with the public, expert, and businesses to re-examine the evidence related to vaping as a smoking cessation tool to ensure that any changes are in the best interest of everyone and protect Ontarians' health and safety. So what do you make of the way that that's phrased and where this all might go from here?
I think it's a very positive first step. It's one of the first instances where public officials have actually stated that they acknowledge that vaping is a cessation method. So that's a really important distinction. Most legislators always just lumped it in as a tobacco product and that it should be treated the same. So that's a huge step forward in terms of actually embracing harm reduction and embracing this new innovative product that could save millions of lives, in theory. Where they go from here, I would like to see them ease up on where people are allowed to vape, leave some of these decisions to the private sphere, whether that's a business or a bar owner who has a patio or anything along those lines, and definitely ease up on the outdoor restrictions for vaping. So for outdoor spaces where they treat vaping like cigarettes, it obviously seems incredibly silly when you evaluate the differences between the two. So those are some of the changes that I hope that they can make. Again, for the purpose of making it more accessible for smokers to make that shift.
Well, we'll see what happens going forward. David Moore at consumerchoicecenter.org. Thanks so much for joining us here today. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That's David Clement, North American Affairs Manager with the Consumer Choice Center, consumerchoicecenter.org. So encouraged by what we're hearing from the new premier. Obviously, the proof will be in the pudding, but it certainly seems as though they're going to take a different approach to not view vaping the same as smoking and to realize that there's some potential benefit from smokers making that switch, and the government policy shouldn't be a barrier or shouldn't discourage them from making that switch. That is encouraging. Our number here, 974-8255. That's 974-TALK. Much more still to come. We're back with more right after this.
Afternoons with Rob Breckenridge, starting at 12:30 on News Talk 770 Calgary.